Good afternoon to everyone. A handout is now being given, so I'll wait a little bit until that's out, so no one will miss what I have to say while getting their handouts. It's always good to be here. It's always a giveaway, though. As I got out the car, someone said, Dr. Berkel, you're speaking today. Sure. The only time you show up here is when you're speaking. Okay, so that was in the parking lot. So I came inside, and over and over again, oh, you're speaking today. Yes, I'm speaking today. But it's always good to be here, and it's always good to speak. Today, among Sabbath-keeping churches, God's church is unique with regards to not only keeping the holy days, but appreciating how they help us understand the plan of God. In addition to the fact that God has not opened their understanding in this matter, many of them stumble over the fact that they associate the holy days with the sacrificial system. Since the sacrificial system is done away with the death of Christ, many believe that the holy days were done away as well. To read Colossians 2:14 to 17 and confirm that Paul is saying that the commandments, the Sabbath, and the holy days were against us, and so Christ did away with them, nailing them to the cross. As we will see, this could be no further from the truth. Today, as we are approaching the holy day season, I thought it would be an excellent review to look at the holy days as they were first given, as they will help us understand how we should view them in these New Testament times and as a New Testament church. But first, let's lay a foundation. If you turn with me, please, to Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8. And let's read verses 1 to 10. Hebrews 8. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Verse 4, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, said he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. But now had he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, verse 8, he said, behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." So here we see a bit of a pattern after the temple that was built. The pattern of what was built on earth is of what is in heaven. And even though Aaron was a type of Christ, Paul shows in Hebrews 8 that Christ did not come to take over from Aaron, who was the mediator of the old covenant. But Christ came to propose a new covenant, and he made that covenant, as we learned before, through the sacrifice of his death. If we turn to Hebrews 10, verse 1, Hebrews 10, verse 1, "For the law, having a shadow of things, of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereto perfect." So even though there were sacrifices, they could not make the comers perfect. It all started with the Passover. The Passover is a memorial of what happened in Egypt. It is also to us a memorial of what Christ did for us. The days of unleavened bread commemorate the coming of the children of Israel out of Egypt over a 7-day period before crossing the Red Sea. They were required at that time to put away leavening. Leavening is a type of sin, and this also to them was a memorial. Pentecost is associated with the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Now, the churches of this world, in one way or another, teach that it is still right to perpetuate these festival rituals that have already been fulfilled in part. Yet they don't understand us keeping these memorials as reminders of things to come. We keep these feasts, these festivals, so that we will not be led astray, but to keep our minds on God's plan. Now, with this background, let us take an overview of the beginning of the organization of the nation of Israel, the development of the priesthood, and of the sacrificial system. So by now, you should have your handouts. And as you will see, I will follow the handouts. You see the texts and the descriptions underneath each one of them. And if you follow along, I will go through the story of the organization, again, of the nation of Israel, the development of the priesthood and the sacrificial system. So let's start with Exodus 12. And let's read verse 3. "Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." So here is the first time the word congregation is used, and also a special singular sacrifice was introduced. At this time, there was no priesthood. The individual household was to offer this sacrifice. No tabernacle was needed. Now the story continues in verses 15 to 17. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day unto your generations by an ordinance forever. The first and the seventh days were to be holy convocations, and as we notice, no servile work was to be done. But here again, there was no priesthood, and no tabernacle was needed. The Passover memorializes coming out of Egypt rather than the sacrifice of Christ, at least to them at this time, and unleavened bread pictured putting sin out of their lives, putting out sin. Now this is before Sinai. This is before the law of Moses was given. Sin was being alluded to, because we know sin is the transgression of the law, but they had not been given the law yet. Let's continue the story in Exodus 13. We'll read verses 6 and 7. Again, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee. Neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. So, this refers to the last day of unleavened bread, another holy convocation. But here again, there were no sacrifices, there was no priesthood, and there was no tabernacle. Let's continue the story in Exodus 16, verses 28, 29, and 30. Exodus 16, verse 28. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gave you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So as they continued their journey, now the Sabbath is introduced. And God performed a miracle to impress upon them the importance he put on the Sabbath. But even with this, there were no sacrifices, there was no priesthood, and no tabernacle was needed. Exodus 19 continues where God proposes a covenant with Israel with the giving of the law on Sinai, and this was on Pentecost. This was 50 days now after they had left Egypt. Exodus 19, let's read verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. So there was a little activity for them to do. The Israelites had to wash their clothes to make themselves clean on the outside in order to receive the law. But we, in our time, have to make ourselves clean on the inside in order to receive God's Holy Spirit. In Exodus 20, the law was given. And let's read Exodus 20, verses 21 to 24. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come to thee, and I will bless thee. So here, for the first time, after the children of Israel left Egypt, after the holy days began to be revealed, God said, since I'm going to be in your midst, it is proper that there be some kind of altar to make sacrifices and peace offerings. Here, for the first time, voluntary sacrifices and peace offerings are mentioned. All he commanded was the altar. The sacrifices were up to them. The sacrifices were voluntary. Then all the laws were given, and Moses wrote them in a book, but not a single case of a sacrificial system was commanded here. In no case, other than the Passover, was an animal sacrifice commanded on any of the holy days. God wrote these in a book. With the new covenant, we will have this written in our hearts. The Ten Commandments were written on tables of stone, and God said, for us, they will be written in our minds. But there was no sacrificial system, there was no priesthood, there was no tabernacle. So we see that as the law was given, and all the major festivals so far, except for the Passover, not a single sacrifice, burnt offering, nor ritual was mentioned on holy time. The story continues in Exodus chapter 21 through 23. And let's turn to Exodus 23 and start in verse 12. Six days shalt thou do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and thy stranger may be refreshed. And in all these things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Verse 14, Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Verse 16. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord thy God. So here the entire holy day system is spelled out. The Sabbath, the holy days, including the fall holy days are re-emphasized. Let's continue the story here in Exodus 24 and read verses 4 and 5. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrifices, peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And peace offerings unto the Lord. The writings of the covenant in the book was finally completed, and burnt sacrifices were offered. These were offerings of thanksgiving. Abel offered an offering of thanksgiving. So did Noah and Abraham. These were not commanded sacrifices. There was no sacrificial system. Again, there was no priesthood, and there was no tabernacle. There were no requirements for this. These offerings were strictly voluntary, and there were thank offerings for what God had done for them by choosing them to be his people. So again, up to this time, except for the Passover, there were no commanded offerings. Anything they offered was voluntary. Exodus 25, 26, and 27 continue the story, and let's summarize the details here. Now, after God had brought them out of Egypt, after they had heard the giving of the law on Sinai, after they were told what the basic principles of life were, after the covenant was ratified, God is now telling Moses that he should let them build an appropriate sanctuary. God of the Old Testament, who became Jesus Christ of the New, wanted the children of Israel to see what his role was by having his role enacted by them, thus illustrating the foreshadowing of what was to come. Sacrifices were not spoken of. All we have is a description of a tabernacle to be built and of a priesthood. Now let's continue the story in Exodus 29, verses 14 to 18. Exodus 29, verses 14 to 18. But the flesh of the bullock and his skin and his dung shall thou burn with the fire without the camp. It is a sin offering. And thou shalt also take one ram, and Aaron and his son shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. And thou shalt slay the ram, and thou shalt take his blood and sprinkle it around upon the altar. And thou shalt cut the ram in pieces and wash the inwards of him and his legs and put them unto his pieces unto his head. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So for the first time here, we see a burnt offering mentioned, a sin offering mentioned, and a burnt offering mentioned. The sin offering stank. They were to burn the flesh, the dung, and everything. And so this was offered outside the camp. The sin offering. The burnt offering was offered inside the camp. The sin offering represented sin, and sin stank. And so when Christ, as we learned earlier, was offered up as a sacrifice for sin, this was done outside of the city wall, outside of the camp, in a sense, so to speak. The story continues. Let's turn to Exodus 30 and read verse 10. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. So now atonement is mentioned and introduced, but here again, there's no sacrificial system, there's no priesthood, and no tabernacle is required. Exodus 32, and let's look at verses 26 to 29. And Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves unto him. And he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out of from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, every man upon his son and upon his brother, that they may bestow upon you the blessings this day." So Israel continued to sin, and God wanted to wipe sin out. And when he asked for volunteers to help rid the nation of sin, the Levites were the ones that volunteered. And so, in time, they formed the group or team who would institute, when it became time to introduce it, the sacrificial system. And so the Levites, the son of Aaron, became the priests. Let's go on to Exodus 34 and read verses 18 to 25. So a lot of time has gone by. The children of Israel had left Egypt months before, and they were introduced to almost all of the holy days, and yet throughout that time we hear nothing about the sacrificial system, we hear nothing about the priesthood, and we hear nothing about the tabernacle. Exodus 34, verse 18. "The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, as I commanded thee in the time of the month Abib. For in the month Abib thou camest out from Egypt. All that opened the matrix is mine, and every firstling among the cattle, ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstlings of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and thou shalt redeem him not. Then shalt thou break the neck of all the firstborn. Thy son shall redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. 6 days shalt thou work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest time shalt thou rest. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits, and of wheat, and of harvest, and of the feasts of ingathering at the year's end. Twice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, neither shalt thou sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until the morning." So here again, the Passover, the holy days, the Sabbath are re-emphasized, but nothing is mentioned of a sacrificial system, of a tabernacle, or of a priesthood. Story continues. Let's turn to Exodus 40 and read verses 16 to 18. "Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so he did. And it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened his sockets and set up the boards thereof and put in the bars thereof and reared up the pillars. So, as you see from your handout, 1 year and 15 days after they had left Egypt, now a tabernacle appears. And with the tabernacle, the systems were introduced. In Leviticus 4, we see the introduction of the required sin offerings, signifying the role that Christ would ultimately have to pay. So the priesthood and the sacrificial system were set up separately, apart from the Sabbath and the holy days. It is only because of the constant sinning of the people that these things were gradually imposed, yet it still did nothing for them. God was looking forward to the time when the Holy Spirit would be available to help us and guide us into all truth. So now we can understand what Jeremiah is saying. And if you turn with me, please, to Jeremiah 7, verses 21 to 24. Jeremiah 7, verses 21 to 24. And I want to read this from the Living Bible paraphrase, because it expresses it in a way that explains what I'm trying to show here today. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says, "Away with your offerings and sacrifices. It wasn't offerings and sacrifices I asked for from your fathers when I led them out of Egypt. That was not the point. What I said to them was, 'Obey me, and I will be your God, and ye will be my people. Only do as I say, and all will be well.' But they wouldn't listen. They kept doing whatever they wanted to, following their own stubborn, evil thoughts. They went backward and not forward." So, the holy days, one system, the sacrificial system, another system, given at two separate times, under two separate circumstances, for two separate reasons. God gave us the Sabbath and the holy days, reminding us of things already accomplished and keeping our minds on things yet to come. The sacrificial system was to remind them that sin required a sacrifice. And Jesus eventually came, as we were told earlier, and fulfilled that. And since then, the sacrificial system was done away. So God has never asked that on these days when he gave them in the beginning, nor now, when we have no need of a Levitical priesthood nor of a sacrificial system that were required in those days, because Christ, by his death, took away the need for those things that were added. The sacrificial system was added, and Christ, by his death, took those things away. As a church, we observe these holy days because God asks us to observe them. He has given us the Holy Spirit to give us an understanding and meaning of these days, and he's given us his Holy Spirit to give us the power to keep these days and worship him as we ought, in spirit and in truth. As we approach the Passover and the start of the holy day season, in terms of our spiritual growth and development, let us diligently strive to make this our best holy day season ever, and so make our calling and election sure.